This week's Bible reading is taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. Once you were dead, doomed forever because of your many sins. You used to live just like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air. He is a spirit at work in all the hearts who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passions and desires of our evil nature. We were born with an evil nature, and we were under God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy that he loved us very much, that even in a while we were dead because of our sins. He gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's special favour that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ, and we are seated with him in the heavenly realms, all because we are one with Christ Jesus. And so, God always points us to examples of the incredible wealth of his favour and kindness towards us, as shown in all that he has done for us through Christ Jesus. God saved you by his special favour when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. This is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so that we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen.
We sang the hymn earlier on, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. That's been a very popular hymn for a long time. When I was 12, there were two versions of it in the pop charts. There was the one by Judy Collins, and also there was a mostly bagpipe version from the Royal Scots Dragoon Guards, which was the version that went to number one. I'm told that the pipe major of the Royal Scots Dragoon Guards got summoned to Edinburgh Castle because in the recording, he had combined bagpipes with a military band, and he was summoned to Edinburgh Castle for demeaning the bagpipes by doing this. Well, there's your useless bit of information for today. Sometimes, though, I meet Christians, and the second line of this song makes me think of them. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And from time to time, not too often, but from time to time, I meet people who are believers and they think they are wretches. They think they are especially bad. They think that God can't possibly love or forgive them. They think that they're almost certainly going to go to hell. And that's not what was in the mind of the writer of this hymn, and neither was it what was in the mind of Paul as he wrote his letter to the Ephesians. The hymn Amazing Grace is full of positive words. Amazing grace. He came and he met the grace of God. He discovered that God loved him and God forgave him, and he went, wow. And later on, he talks about this grace of God, this mercy of God being precious to him. The writer of this song was never trying to make anybody think that they were the sort of wretch that was beyond God's forgiveness. It was that as he looked back on his previous life, before he really knew the Lord, he realized that he had fallen short. And he thought it was just amazing the way that God had met him with open arms. Now, Paul, writing to the Ephesians in our reading today, has so much to say that is about grace. It is by grace that you have been saved. He talks about the incomparable riches of God's grace. He talks about God being rich in mercy. He has a picture of God that is full of grace and love and peace, and he has met that in Jesus, and it has turned him around. Paul didn't spend, this is a really important point, Paul did not spend his pre-Christian life going around thinking he was a wretch, and he certainly didn't spend his Christian life thinking that. No, what he's describing here is that when he really met the Lord, when he encountered the Lord, he realized that what he'd been doing before was wrong. He realized that he had fallen short of what God was looking for. And he looked back and said, you know, at the time, I thought that I was loving God. I thought that I was serving God, but actually I was working against him. But what happened was God came and met with me. And Paul looks back, and yes, he is appalled by what he was doing in the past. But he's seen Jesus, and he knows Jesus, and he knows that Jesus loves him. Please never think that you are a wretch and that God cannot love you or forgive you. And please, whatever you do, do not think that you are so bad that God cannot reach you. This verse, this Bible reading, this hymn is just full of positive stuff that speaks of God's love for us. Now, Paul writes to the Ephesians, and he talks about the lives that they led before they believed. And he'll go into this in more detail later on in the letter. But let's just say for now that the life that they were leading was the one that many Christians would think of as an ungodly life. The way they spoke to one another, the way they acted towards one another, their sexual morality, all of it was nothing like what God would want. It was what many believers think is ungodly. And they needed to be changed, and God met them. But look what Paul says in verse 3. He doesn't talk about all of you having this problem. He talks about all of us. Paul had never lived the life that these people had led. He was somebody who was so keen to obey God's law. Until he met Jesus, he thought that he was doing fine. But actually, what he discovered was that the way that he was seeking to serve God was actually working against him. See, we saw a couple of weeks ago in our reading that God's plan in Jesus is to bring the world to unity. That's what this letter is about. Paul has been praying about that already, and he's going to go on in the second half of the letter to give them a load of instructions as to how they promote this unity, and we'll get to that sometime after Easter. I'm looking forward to seeing how it works in practice. But Paul looks back on his pre-Christian days, and he realizes that the life he was living then was all about separation. It was saying, well, these people are unclean. You know, I can't eat people who eat this. I can't eat with people who eat this certain sort of food. I can't be with people who don't follow these particular rules. And when Jesus came to him, his heart was changed and all the barriers were broken down. And he realized that God was calling him to love in a practical way all sorts of people, not just the people who were like him. And one of the traps that we in church so easily fall into is that we put up barriers. Now look what Paul says here in verse 3. He talks about us gratifying the cravings of our flesh. It sounds like someone who's addicted to alcohol or drugs, doesn't it? Well, yes, it includes that, but it includes a lot of other things as well. And we were just, he says, following our desires and thoughts. We were just doing what we wanted to do. And Paul realized that until he met Jesus, that's what all his religion was about. He thought he was serving God, but really he was just doing, well, essentially the same things as these Ephesians were doing, separating himself off from other people. And he says, you know, we were deserving of wrath. Don't have time to go into that word in detail today, but basically what he's saying is there were consequences of what I did. He talks about sins. He talks about transgressions. He says that's what we were doing. The word sin is one that's about missing a target. I was trying to do what God was calling me to do, but I was failing. And the idea of transgression is about stumbling and falling over. You know, as far as God was concerned, I was just falling on my face the whole time. And then in verse 4, Paul says this, but because of his great love for us. Paul says, you were living these non-Christian lives, and they were horrible, and you needed God's love. I was leading this very religious life, and it was horrible. And what I needed was to be completely infused by the love of God. God's love, he says, was incredible towards us. God was rich in mercy. He made us alive. You see, when I was just following my natural desires, he says, even in a religious way, I was dead. But I got to know the power of the risen Christ in my life. That's the power that Paul wrote about in the prayer that we prayed last week. I think we'll pray that prayer again towards the end of our service today. And he says, God raised us up with Christ in the heavenly realms. We are in Christ. We share Christ's anointing. The Spirit that was poured out on Jesus has now been poured out on us. Not because we deserve it. It is the gift of God. Even the faith by which we grasp this is far more God's work than it is ours. What an amazing God we worship. This is amazing grace. And how do we grow in this grace today? Well, we prayed last week and we will pray again that God will use his power in our life really to let us see what it is that we have been called to do. And there's another fantastic prayer coming up in chapter 3 where Paul prays that they will be able to grasp the love of Christ. The way forward in the Christian life is to grasp the love of God. Because when you grasp it, you can sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But it doesn't make you think, oh, I'm horrible. It makes you think God is amazing. I've tasted, I've seen that the Lord is good. And my mind has been blown by just how good he really is. This is the God that we've come to today. This is the hope that we have come to today. So today, my prayer for each one of us, may we know the love of God. May we experience it. May we realize, however we are, that there are new steps for us to take and new ways to experience and to give away the love of God.